You played together from almost, y'all were literally children, mm-hmm. for many years. Took what turned out to be a 6-7 year break.
Yep.
Came back together. What's it like to be back on stage again?
It's been really, really fun for us. I think, you know, the old cliche of you know, like riding a bike, you never really forget. But I think it was a little bit more surreal even than that. Just you know, having not played a show for 6.5 years and then being on the side of the stage at the Alabama Theater in Birmingham.
Where we played a lot.
We played there a couple times, and I remember we were about to go on stage, and it really felt to me like we just had a couple days off in the middle of a tour, you know, from our last show at the Ryman 6.5 years before. It was really interesting, and I think it's a testament to how natural it is for the three of us to make music together, and then it was, you know, it was the right time to come back, because mm-hmm. it felt great. It was fresh. You know, it feels fresh, but it also feels it feels like picking up something that's worth continuing.
Sarah, you're talking about it was almost like a long dream. You said you went on stage for the first time in Birmingham. You kind of came in like you usually do, but so it's like coming out of this, waking up out of a long dream.
Well, I mean, for the longest time, you know, in this band, we have always, for, you know, over 20 years, 25 years now, I stood on the stage right. Chris is in the middle, Sean's on the stage left, and that was just kind of where I was most comfortable for the longest time in any situation. It's just kind of, this is the context that I grew up playing in.
Right.
And so it still very much feels like home in a lot of ways. And it felt a little surreal at first, just because, you know, having taken 6.5 years off, we've all made a bunch of different records and collaborated with a lot of different people, mm-hmm. and our experiences on stage have varied immensely compared to the first, you know, 18 years of our band career. Mm-hmm. And so to come back together as stronger individuals because of those diverse experiences,
and not just professionally,
stronger
but just
singers,
life experiences.
And, yeah, I think we're stronger individual people. And then our individual musicianship, I think, has gotten better during this hiatus, just due to the diversity. And so to be able to come back together and feel like we sing better together than we used to, and we're a better band in many ways. It made it a lot less just reminiscent and made us feel like there was a real reason to actually make a record and tour together, that we weren't just doing it for old time's sake. That would be pretty sad, I think, for us.
Yeah, at least particularly given your all's age and the fact that you all were individually doing stuff on your own as artists, whereas before it had been much more collaborative experience, that if the only reason you're coming back is to cash in, make the fans happy, which is not a bad thing, but, I mean, you guys have got this new album. Sean, I think I read that one of the songs you've been saving for your next album, which just came out, what, July 1st, mm-hmm. That you've actually put that on the new album.
Yeah, 21st of May, I was finishing my solo record last summer, and that's when we were writing for Dotted Line in New York at Chris's house. And Sarah and Chris had asked about it, you know, if it was going to be on my record, and I said it was, but, you know, it really worked.
Poached it.
Yeah.
Poached it.
Yeah. So
that's legal in Kentucky, but I don't know about Indiana.
Well, anyway, yeah, it's a song I've had around for a while. I'm glad it made it onto the Nickel Creek record.
Are y'all doing mostly stuff off your new record, or even stuff off of your album?
No.
Are you mixing it up with some of your old stuff?
Trying to keep it as a pretty even mix of all the records.
You know, one thing I wanted to ask you about that I was real curious about, because, you know, I'm a seventh generation Kentuckian. I don't say that to brag. I say that as almost like I apologize. All my people from the eastern part of the state. And so most of the bluegrass instrumentation that we see, or even old-timey music, you know, you're going to have a banjo in there, you're going to have a bass. Mm-hmm. And you guys have always been this trio. And you've obviously gotten the label bluegrass band, but yet you don't really have the traditional get-up. I mean...
I don't know that we have that label. I think
you don't.
I think there's some people who
Think of you as bluegrass.
I think some people are comfortable with that, and they feel like that's what we mean to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of people who just don't even worry about it.
Really?
I don't think a lot of people care anymore. So maybe if they're describing it to somebody, they might say that. But I mean, I always feel like music itself is better listened to than talked about. You know?
Interesting.
And I think people care less and less about that unless they're having to describe it to somebody.
That's an interesting take, because if you do say, because what I was kind of leading into is if you are kind of labeled as a bluegrass act, then that obviously is going to severely limit your audience to some degree. But if you don't, then you're going to get a whole lot more people. And I'm guessing one of the reasons that you write and play is you're an artist. You got something to say, and so you want people to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, and we grew up playing in California. The kind of bluegrass that we grew up listening to out there is very, very diverse and includes mm-hmm. a lot of other influences. So to us, that was just always how we looked at it. You know, we liked bluegrass music and the instrumentation, but never really thought much about
felt
trying to sound
it.
Like it.
Because
no.
It could be, I mean, it's almost got a structure. I mean, you listen to somebody like Ralph Stanley, you know, you're going to get a particular kind of genre, mm-hmm. if you will. One thing I was curious about, too, you guys are on Nonesuch now. I mean, it is a eclectic label,
yeah.
to say the least. I mean, you got everybody on there from Brad Meldow to, you know, African acts. Being on that label, are you getting to have some fun? Are you getting to collaborate with some of the other artists that normally you wouldn't get to? Or is it expanded what you're listening to?
I think in the context of this band, I mean, Chris has been on the label for a while. You mm-hmm. you collaborate with a lot of your label mates, I feel like, probably just because your relationships, you're friends with them, right? Like, a couple of people.
Yeah, Brad and I have done some touring together, and certainly we were introduced by Bob, our record company president. Mm-hmm. I think the neat thing about Nonesuch is that they exemplify the sort of a genreless approach to music. I think there's no problem, you know, if we're going to discuss music at all, we have to compare it to this and that. But really, great musicians don't make music from within a genre, because the whole point of something being, you know, if you can say definitively that something is a part of this or that genre, then clearly it's not very unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like something than it.
It's derivative.
It's going to be derivative. And someone like Bill Monroe, he was completely unconcerned with being fitting into any sort of a group, and to the point where he sort of created his own thing. And I think that any musician worth their salt is attempting to do something new. And while I completely appreciate the more curative approach to music making, it's just not something that interests me, and I don't think it's something that interests us as a group. Especially now with the advent of recording, that music's not going anywhere. So it's mm-hmm. Worrying that it's going to die is I think a little silly. And that what really you need to be more concerned about is whether there's enough explosively creative music being made right now. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that needs to be the goal of any serious musician right now, is to be forging ahead. There is something new under the sun. It's, you know, it's not going to be completely new, but nothing ever has been.
Mm-hmm. Listen, thanks a lot. I know you guys, this is kind of the... We gotta go talk to these guys. We're in the cornhole game. We want to enjoy our what's been left for us. But thank you a lot. I really appreciate you guys coming out.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. It's good to have met you.